Vamos ver.
Then tell them through the administration of SPZ and where the money comes from to support the SPZ. And down to the duties of the advisory board that has been established to advise the minister. And therefore, we will take questions, Chair. As you know, in the past, we used to manage the industrial development zones that were designated by the minister under the Manufacturing Development Act. But as of the beginning of this year, the president has proclaimed the new SPZ Act. At the beginning of this year, the President proclaimed the new Act, the SPZ Act, that is going to govern the old industrial development zones and the new special economic zones that will be designated now under the new SPZ Act. With that, the Minister has to draft regulations and submit them for comment. We give the public 30 days to comment on the regulations. And there weren't too many comments on the regulations that we are having. So the department dealt with whatever concerns that were raised during comment period. And yes, the final regulations were published. So we have addressed that. The key highlights so far, Chair, the SPZ Act now is in place, as I said, as of the 9th of February, it was proclaimed into law by the President, and the SPZ regulation also approved and gazetted on the 9th of February. The incentive package has been developed, the guidelines have been developed, that will guide the people who want to apply for special economic zones. The SPZ board established the MET already, and they have dealt with one application for designation, that is the Komotina SPZ. The monitoring and evaluation framework has been developed. The reason why we are developing this monitoring and evaluation framework is just to assist us to monitor the development of these SPZs so that we can advise the minister if there should be any changes in terms of the policy and the implementation of these SPZs. At the moment, Chair and Honourable Members, the National Treasury is working on the regulations that will be pertaining to industries that will be locating in the SPZs for the tax incentives. So both the National Treasury and SAS are working on this new regulation, and that's administration and implementation of the tax incentives. Now, the SPZ fund is the money that we get from the Treasury, which has been appropriated to the Department of Trade and Industry by Parliament. Going down to the administration of this SPZ fund, obviously the DTR manages this under the PMA. The minister has appointed the adjudication committee, which is chaired by the DG, to consider applications and then make recommendations to the minister for approval. and the money that not okay, the NZ fund money not required immediately may be invested in accordance with PFMA aligned investment policy approved by the minister, and may be withdrawn whenever it is required. So all the money that has been distributed to the NZ from the fund may only be used for to achieve the objectives of the SEZ Act, and the DG is required obviously to monitor the use of the funds and report to the minister, the minister report to parliament. These are the areas where the money from the fund may be used by the SEZ for feasibility studies, startup for site preparation, infrastructure development, business incubation. Why business incubation? Because there is a belief that the company that will locate in the SEZ, some of them will be at the startup phase, and they will still need a lot of business support from government in terms of development and other areas. So that's the reason why each and every SEZ we have a business incubator to assist small companies to develop and be able to face the harsh market out there. And these funds, they are offered in the form of conditional grants offered to the SEZ management company or organization. Who may apply for these funds? So far the Act only gives the state and the organs of state to apply for the license to operate the SEZ. Any private entity that wants to apply has to form a PPP with a government department or a state institution or a state home company. And then the support measures for SEZ operators. Chair, we have talked about the tax benefits that will accrue to companies that will be locating into the SEZ. But it's not every company that is going there that is going to benefit from the tax incentive. The companies, they still have to apply for that tax relief and any tax benefit that will be that is managed by the National Treasury or by SARS. So the tax relief that will be applicable will be under the Value Added Tax and the Customs and Exercise Tax and Customs Duty Act. But still the companies will have to apply. Some will get it, some won't get it. And the regulations that will be developed by the Treasury and SARS will tell us exactly which companies will benefit, what will be the criteria for approval. So these are just the legislation that applicable, that will be applicable in the SEZ for the administration of tax benefits that are coming. I think this is a list of taxes that will be applicable again in the SEZ. Then coming to the application for designation itself. As I said, any sphere of government or public entity or municipality or a PPP may apply to the minister for specified area to be designated as an SEZ. And the application must comply obviously with the law as required. And it has to be a manufacturing entity or investment suitable cities that the SEZ intends to engage in. I think these are the criteria, Chair. And it has to show that the product that will be produced in the SEZ to the local market or for the export market and it has to show whether the epizet is intended to be located either anywhere in the South Africa, in South Africa, port of entry, or in the custom control area. An applicant must be accompanied by a feasibility study, and I think that's supposed to be an application, Chef. Must be accompanied by a feasibility study required in terms of the act. Because some of these areas, because of lack of infrastructure, lack of expertise, they may not be feasible to be designated as a so first there must be a feasibility study that is done before an application is decided to the board and then the minister. Coming to the advisory board chair, the advisory board must provide applicants with a written acknowledgement of receipt of after receiving the application within 5 days. They must assess the application. Assessing the application, they can do site visits, they can conduct research so that they are well informed by the time they have to recommend to the minister whether to take place and area as an FEZ or not. yes, I think this is just repeating now that the advisory board must recommend to the minister within 5 months of receipt of the complete application. In some cases, it might even be more than 5 months. Apologies, Chair, I'm struggling really with my illness. And the minister must, within 2 months of receipt of the recommendation from the board, make up his mind and make a decision whether to approve for the nation or not. The time obviously contemplated in the regulations may be extended or may be changed according to the circumstances. If the minister decides not to grant approval of the application, he must specify the reasons, obviously, and inform the applicant of the decision in writing and provide the applicant with the reasons for not granting approval. And the unsuccessful applicant can always reapply for this mission. And then the types of businesses that can locate in the SEZ, yes, the business that is conducting manufacturing activities or that is involved within tradable activities or a business that is providing warehousing, distribution and logistics. Why? Because warehousing, distribution and logistics will play a huge role in ensuring that businesses are created within an SEZ and the goods could be moved in and out of the SEZ. That's why we allow warehousing, distribution and logistics services to be registered in this accident. But we are not excluding services or businesses other than a service or business other than services or business contemplated in the regulation may apply to locating the SEZ provided that such service or business provide services or sell goods within the SEZ, as I mentioned, or number of services or businesses and the area they occupy in the SEZ not exceed the number and area provided for in the guidelines. The application itself share must be in writing and submitted to the assistant of the advisory board. Thanks. The application to locate in the SEZ chair must be submitted to the SEZ board. There is a difference between an SEZ board and an advisory board chair. The advisory board is appointed by the minister to advise him on designation. After it has been designated, then the NDC that for the license must appoint an SEZ board that is responsible for the running of the SEZ. So now this is an application to locate in an SEZ by a company that wants to be there. It must be in writing, submitted to the chairperson of the relevant SEZ board. Obviously, this application must comply with the Act and the regulations as stipulated in the setup of the regulations and the setup of the Act. The SEZ board must provide the applicant with a written acknowledgement or received within 7 days of the application. They may request further documentation, they may do technical audits, visit the company itself and do all necessary audits to ensure that it's a sustainable application.
I'm sorry, can I interrupt? Honorable Dukale, you could sit to this side as well. There's no rule that says all members must sit on one side of the room.
I want to sit to the
desk. If you're comfortable there, but I'm worried it's too close to the screen.
That's not a problem. I just
love to see you. Honorable Dukale, are you okay there? Okay, sorry about that. Please continue.
Our second chair, the application to locate in an SEZ must be in writing and submitted to the chairperson of the SEZ board. And this application must comply with the Act and the guidelines and regulations. The SEZ board must provide the applicant then of the two colleagues that just came in are from the ECR. These are my colleagues. These are the colleagues coming from the SEZ units within the city.
No, we understand that we informed that there will be delays to
yeah. Okay, thank you very much, I was saying the SEZ board must provide the applicant with their written acknowledgement. They can do all sorts of audits, checking whether the application itself is valid, all the information has been provided, and then provide the applicant with the answer whether they agree the applicant to come to the event or not. Chair, if you don't mind, can I give one of the colleagues the floor to continue the presentation because of the problem I have with them at the moment? Thanks.
No, thanks very much, Mr. Ducote. We noticed that you were struggling. Thank you very much for being the pilot and the colleagues. Could you introduce yourself to us before you kick off the part?
Thanks, sir. My name is Maurice Mudafani. I'm responsible for the head of the policy of planning in the DGI with the SEZ division. Apologies once more. I think the section here deals with the governance and management of the SEZ. This is at entity level. My DDG has already indicated, I'm sure, that we do have SEZ advisory board at a little level. And at a local level, we designate the SEZ. We attract the applicants to establish an SEZ entity, and that entity will be governed by the SEZ board. And this is what the would be the funding document of SEZ board. We need to have a code of conduct, for example, that would include, among others, obligation to comply with the code of conduct, comply with the laws and policies, declaration of public of interest, care and diligence, confidentiality, reporting unlawful and unethical conduct, and review of the conduct of the conduct of the code of conduct. And of course, this board would then have a funding document which, amongst others, will include the responsibilities and the role of the board, the membership and the term of office, the committees, board meetings, the performance of the board, as indicated, conflict of interest, and a review, of course, of those funding documents. In addition to the to the SEZ board at the local level, the entity owns and manage SEZ on behalf of the province or the applicant, and that entity is then, by in terms of the SEZ Act, obliged to offer points and operator. An operator could be anyone, could be a private company, could be a triple P, or it could be a state-owned operator. An application for that operator permit must be in writing and must be submitted to the chairperson of the advisory board. And in terms of the process flow, is the same thing as the application for designation. The board makes a recommendation to the minister, and the minister makes a final determination. An application for the SEZ operator permit must contain, for example, the name, address, contact information of the applicant, confirmation writing that the SEZ board has complied with the SEZ Act. And of course, it has to have a contractual agreement between the board, SEZ entity or the board, and the operator in terms of the terms, status of the financial model and so forth. Information on the applicant's current size, capacity, financial status, access to financial resources. One of the things that the operator or applicant or operator permit must have is to demonstrate the financial capacity and human resource capacity to can manage the proposed special economic zone. And the information on the proposed number of employees is a proposed organogram of the applicant to demonstrate that indeed or that company has credentials to can manage that particular SEZ. In terms of the role of the advisory board, so far as that application, the advisory board at the national level must provide applicant with a written acknowledgement of the case within 7 days of the receipt of the application, and they request further information or particulars in writing from applicant related to the matter pertaining to other applications. And that has to be done within 30 days after the receipt of the application. And of course, similarly to the application for designation, the advisory board through its secretariat may conduct investigation and inspection of the applicant or request applicant to make oral submission to the advisory board as may be deemed necessary in the circumstances. And of course, the advisory board will then make recommendations to the minister. And of course, the minister may decide not to grant application for an operator permit in case he doesn't comply with the act or if he doesn't any circumstances that makes him to decide otherwise. And of course, then the minister would inform the applicant of his decision in writing, provide the applicant with reasons for such decision. Of course, the unsuccessful applicant may submit new application for operator permit. Then these are the reporting duties of the advisory board. The advisory board has required to the minister within the financial year on the progress relating to the establishment and development of the SEZ in South Africa. And of course, the reports in the lead would include the number of applications, designations, the number of designated SEZ, the performance of the SEZ in general, including the challenges thereof. The SEZ Act and regulations provide for transitional arrangements. That is to follow that We currently have about 7 designated IDs. That would be Guha, Islanda, Lucas Bay, Sardana Bay, Mati Apofung, Uwa Tambo. That's ideas that we, when we designated them between 2002 and 2014, we gave them operator permit, and that operator permit was as both the operator permit and SEZ license. So we never had a distinction between the operator and the SEZ entity. We had one entity operating as both. So within the SEZ Act, we then have to have a distinction in terms of the SEZ operator and SEZ entity. So we're saying under the transitional arrangement, an industrial development zone operator must, within 5 months of the commitment of the Act, submit a plan and a timeline to the Director General on how the IDZs will comply with the framework regulating special economy zones. So within, from the time where the SEZ Act became operational, which is the 9th of February, we need to have to go through that transitional arrangement, and within 12 months we expect all the IDZs to submit at least a plan on how they will comply with the SEZ Act. And in terms of the issues that you need to comply with, that part one, compliance with the governance and management obligation of the SEZ program. One, as I've indicated, we will need to have a distinction. All the SEZs will need to have entities. All SEZs will need to have operators. Compliance with reporting obligations for an SEZ. The Act makes it very clear in terms of reporting lines and also in terms of what needs to be reported on. We do have a monitoring version framework which all the SEZs and IDZs need to comply with. Compliance with the obligations to operator permit, as I've indicated, we currently have one entity operating as an operator entity and also, I mean, operator as well as the SEZ entity. They comply with the functions of an operator, compliance with businesses located in the industrial development zone. And I think in terms of the regulations, we indicate that when the applicant submits an application for designation, that application must include a detailed feasibility study. And that detailed feasibility study must, amongst others, include at least a statement of intent or executive summary about what the SEZ is all about, the rationale, the location, and it must also include the general overview of an area where the proposed SEZ is being located. It must also include the economic rationale or economic case for the application for designation. It has to demonstrate the long-term viability, both in terms of economic development, but also in terms of financial viability. It must also include social impact of the proposed SEZ in terms of jobs, the multiplier effect, and many other socio-economic impacts, so in social infrastructure and so on. It must also include a business plan for the proposed SEZ as well as risk profile and mitigation factors. This is just an indication of the process flow in terms of application or designation. When you apply for a particular SEZ, right, it is just plain indicated. Anyone can apply for an SEZ. Any government can apply for an SEZ or triple Q or state entity. And as a point of departure, an applicant has submitted a concept note which will be evaluated, analyzed, and reported on to inform the decision to continue with the next step. And the next step is to conduct the pre-feasibility study or economic case to establish the long-term economic viability of that proposed SEZ. Then the third one is to deal with comprehensive technical feasibility that which has to do with the financial model, the land preparation issue. Then the last stage, or the second last stage, will be to develop a business plan, which will be then coupled with the application for designation. And once that is done, there is a process to appraise the submission, which involves technical evaluation analysis. And once that is done, this is at the level of the secretariat or DTI internally. And then the recommendation then is made to the advisory board for the final decision. And then once the board is satisfied with the process, they will submit the recommendation to the minister. And the minister will then publish his intention to do so in the Gazette and also give public 80 days to submit written comments. And then once that is concluded and everyone is happy with the application, the minister will consult with the cabinet concerning the application for designation. And once that is done, again, cabinet is happy. The SEZ will be designated and the license will be issued by the minister of the CCR. Thanks, sir.
I thank you very much for the presentation. I think that just before I allow for questions, it would be helpful for us if you could issue engaging with us now, not immediately. Give us an indication of the IDZs that we have at the moment, so that we would also then be able to monitor the transfer processes. I will later on pose a question about some of the ideas. Let us get an indication from the members. I notice Honorable Baba has his hand. Any of the other members? Honorable Nita, Honorable Terry. Let's have the three and then take another round of three. As we normally do, is to give you an indication which province the member is from, so that as we engage with you, we are particularly promoting provincial interests, but not specifically. We can be the provincial issues or also issues in other provinces. So, Honorable Faber is from the province of the Northern Cape. Let's give you a call.
Thank you, Chair. So, I think you hit the note on there. We are here to present our provinces. Now, if you present something like this to the National Assembly Portfolio Committee, I understand that fully. But don't come with your specs and duplicate it in the NCOD. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I need to know, for instance, in my province, I understand the Gauteng development area is the SED. But I'm sitting here representing my province, the Northern Cape. I've heard not one thing today yet, number one, where SEZ is in my province, which I wanted to know. That is what I need to know for my province. Where is the SEZ in Northern Cape? Then I can, as soon as I have that, I can start looking and thinking, where can we do these type of developments of businesses to get them involved in that? So before I can't get the third step, I don't even want to do respect think about the register, because we don't even have that. As far as I understand in the Northern Cape, I haven't heard anything, I haven't seen anything in here. Maybe it does exist, and I would love to know if it exists. I know Kuka, I believe, is the SEZ. But this is one problem for me. That means if there is not the SEZ in the Northern Cape, then I need to know if it's not there. Number one, why hasn't it been established? And if it's not been, and if it's been established, why don't we really have all the information on the citizens of the committee? Because I really do believe that is the committee where we as committee members should know about it, so that we as members can follow us up in those areas to actually push it forward and help the people to do it through our legislators and people. So Jefferson, this is where I'm going to stay for first, and just maybe on the operator permit. We're talking about providers, manufacturers, services, service, can be a service as well, etc. Now, I understand this concept, but what if, for instance, you know the Northern Cape is as big as the whole of Poland as a country. Now, let's say there's the SEZ in Springbok, and there are people that really want to benefit from this, presumably, for instance, in the language industry. They are not part of the SEZ. How do they fall into this? How can they get involved in economic zone? Please, if I can get answers. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. There are two questions there. I'll add another one that is next to the Northern Cape shop. But hold on, please.
Thank you very much, Chair. My apologies for the meeting.
Sorry, I forgot to say that you are from the Eastern Cape.
I was representing you, can take
Let us just appreciate the presentation from the Department What I would like to know first is to follow up on your question that has been told about the SEZs that are operational in country. And it would be nice if you may not give us the full details of their performance, but at least to know how are they performing in terms of contributing to the economy of those regions where they are. And the other point, this presentation will touch on something that I have interest on for the person that comes from East London in the UK. The unique practices between the IGZ and Buffalo City. Buffalo City does have a share in terms of the IGZ itself. Now I am not hearing anything in terms of this act that we are about to pass that talks to that issue. I'll tell you why it is important to know. It's because from time to time, the municipalities are giving land to the IGZs. They don't make them pay because of that shareholding, which doesn't translate into monetary terms to the municipality, but benefits from what the IGZs is doing within the region. So I'll be interested to know where, what is the government saying about that? Are we in line? If we are to avoid that, which other way that can give the community benefit from what they already contributed to the idea?
Again, from Meta, let's have the third and last one will tell us.
I think the first one is to establish whether the presenter would be able to share more information about the platinum belt project, where the process are ready to commence with it, and what are the process of finalizing. If my memory serves me well, since 2014 we've been talking about the platinum belt project. Mining sector is beginning to shape jobs. Actually, that could serve as a base to begin to leverage what you are leading on the process. The issue of eligibility to apply for the CZ, are they only limited to the three points that you mentioned, manufacturing, international tradable services, and your distribution warehouse? If it is, would it not be more wiser, as a layman, we would want to create and stimulate growth internally, even before we think about international. Grow our export base so that we can be able to leverage our own base where we move. These international tradable services, is it not better to concentrate locally, build, stimulate growth here, and be able to say how do we then take this forward? Or maybe we can get a proper explanation of what it is to do. Other than that, I think the other member that raised it, how it's been a long time in talking about CCF. We don't see progress, and I think we should be able to share more information as to where we're going.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Honorable Minister indicated that she got one question. So I'm not taking a new person, I'm just taking an additional question on the thing. Honorable members, don't be anxious, we are going to have enough time to take a second round.
Thank you very much. I forgot to ask one question. Because SEZ in the Eastern Cape, the Kuka and also the London and next door, which is our neighbor, because they're not attending to material in case and they also have their own. Is there a plan from the department to make sure that there is no competition between those, not necessarily them alone? You know, they know competition, rather than they are complementing each other.
Honourable members, I'm worried. When we received the notice of this meeting, also what we negotiated with the DGI for today's presentation, if you look at it, it talks about the final regulation. It doesn't talk about ACDES fraud. So the team came prepared on the regulations so that we first could understand that. And then look at the detail of where the ACDES are. Now, you are correcting and entitled to raise questions about the ACDES. I would want to test with colleagues in the department whether you're able to answer those now, or did you shaking your head? So you will answer them now. Okay. Then I won't have great interest other than to confess that my introductory question then also opened the door and maybe I should have held it back as I normally do. But we're glad that you're able to answer them now. So it's open. You can look at the regulations, but also look at the specifics. Honourable Ntebe, as you have noted, comes from the Platinum province. Therefore, the question of the Platinum province. Bear with us, Honourable members, let them respond to the three members, and then we'll come back for the second round. Over to you, Titi.
No, thanks, Chair. No, I was telling Sarosh before we started that for 3 days I didn't take my chronic medication, so I'm really struggling. But the colleagues will answer the question, Chair. That's right, we have Mr. Alfred Tao. He is the Chief Director responsible for SEZ. And Mr. Mautu here, Manifanane, he is the Director within the same unit. And then we have Nkolisi Machamba. Nkolisi has been seconded by CSIR to the DTI, but he's an old boy of the DTI, used to be the DDG there, responsible for trade and investment in the past. But right now he's officially employed by CSIR, but seconded to us to also assist on the development of the SEZ program. So thanks, and any time we'll try to respond on the question for the location of SEZ and the IDZ that are operational at the moment. But any time, Chair, if you want a detailed information on those IDZ, we can write a report and submit it to the committee. Chair, can you take the question, please?
Thank you very much for the promise of the report.
Thanks, Chair, honourable members. For the first question, that I will jump to the another explanation because the Chair already made the explanation that the presentation was made before I joined the regulation. So the current SEZ or IGZ at the moment after all that I've designated. Two are in KZN, so Bishop Bay and Gino Transport. Two are in Eastern Cape, Kuba and East London. One in Western Cape, Saldana. One in County and Owa Tambo. And one in the state, Marodia Kofo, which is currently continuing. Out of the seven, four operational, which means that you will find investors and companies operating in those, which will be the two in Eastern Cape and the two in KZN. Saldana is still at the startup phase, so they are preparing for operations, even though they are already attracting investors, but they are creating the infrastructure. Owa Tambo in Gauteng, they are also going through the same process. They just began construction a few months back. But with the Apophone and Christian, they are fortunate that some of their buildings are existing, but they are also in a better place where they are setting up the institution so that they can easily start the operation. But all of the seven are attracting investors. And the, we all know that the performance before the introduction of the SEZ was not that good. During that phase, only Wuhan and East London are performing better and the others are not. But now that the new SEZ Act is in place and a new incentive, especially the 15% corporate tax incentive, all of them are turning around and showing big prospects. There's a question on how do people get involved in SEZ. Perhaps let's say that the intention of the SEZ is to promote faster growth and development of the economy. And that we need to pick up strategic regions or centers that can drive that growth. But if even the intention is not to have an SEZ in every state, or to have an SEZ in every municipality, it's not practical, especially now in the state where, as a state, there's no money to afford many of them. But together, the Minister of National and the provinces through the MPs and many municipalities possible, they're working together to spread this thing as much as possible across this country. That's why the ministers and the MPs agreed that every province will have to go through this process of identifying SEZ initiatives. And only those that come out workable would initiate a bigger project for finance development of SEZ. The other point that we have there to make is that the SEZ instrument program is not the only one that is being used as part of driving this growth. There are many other initiatives, but I will just highlight two additional ones. In partnership with rural development and agriculture, government is rolling out the AgriPark, which at the moment has platform for them across the country. In addition to that, DTI is now revitalizing all industrial parks. All of these measures together are intended to ensure that we intervene as much as possible in every province, in every district, and every municipality. So even if we will not necessarily have SEZ in all of them, but efforts are there to ensure that no district is left unattended. And this team and others in the DTI are involved in all of them to make it happen. So how do people get involved? There are many ways. In the first place, in the development of SEZ, they require a partnership between national, provincial, and local. If any of this is not engaged and involved the best that they can, they don't seem to work. So in the process, we are making sure that municipalities, local districts, provinces, and national departments, including those that are even in non-economic, are involved in the process. So in a way, people through their representatives and government there have an opportunity to add. Secondly, the business community has always been involved in this process where they came up with initiatives approach either the provinces or municipalities or national departments to say, these are the opportunities we see across the country. And we will work with them to shape them. So the work that we are doing is on platinum negotiation. The private sector is right there in the middle of all those projects. And the work that we do on projects and other processes in the private sector is right there in the middle. So in all these processes, there is fear of anyone with an idea to bring it up to our attention in the municipality, then we have platforms where we engage and see which projects or initiatives should be given more support because they show the highest impact in terms of investment, jobs, and other indicators. And even social partners are also free to come with the proposal. And in the planning and development of this SDSITZ, in the board, we're working to ensure that communities can be represented in the board that oversees the running and development of this. So we're trying to find many avenues and ways in which people can feel that they are part of this development and share that their frustration or the opportunities they see that we need to work on. From the partnership between ADZ, especially London and Buffalo City, this is a one way, one example in which a good partnership works. And there are many examples that my colleagues can give of what how to say in that. In effect, as I indicated earlier on, the ADZ or ADZ projects are not those of GTR alone. It's a partnership. So each of these spheres contributes something. And in the main, the local spheres would have land, and here's a land that we can develop. So that becomes their contribution. Not the only contribution, but one of the contributions that you need. So the partnership with Buffalo City is a very good example or told of a story where the IGZ and the municipality even work on synchronizing traffic lights so that traffic from the IGZ across to the other users of products from the IGZ is seamless and not disturbed. So in a way, Buffalo City is benefiting the services. All the developments that are coming are for them. They're not intended for some peers in the similar level. They're intended for that region and that city to benefit. So we will continue to encourage this partnership and explore ways in which it can be strengthened. The progress with Platinum Valley and they are convinced that the progress in the Netherlands is low. We had started to work on this Platinum Valley project long ago, but when we reached at the end of it, closer to application meeting, the province indicated that they are no longer interested in that project. So that work has to stop. Over a year. But today I'm pleased to report that the province has changed its mind and they have even submitted the application.
In fact, I think the province was interested in the agro-processing one, not the platinum one. That's why the work on the platinum one is started this.
But now we do have the application in the technical team at associated and we'll soon submit it to the ICT that probably will send a recommendation to the minister. So at this stage, it's green light on the process. And the ability to apply, I think the concern here is much more on the sectoral focus, which is manufacturing and just internationally available services. The SZ project is an instrument of industrial policy. In a sense, it follows and supports what IPEF says. So, through IPEF or government enterprise, the major focus must be to promote manufacturing. All the various aspects of manufacturing, cars, aeroplanes, clothing, textiles, furniture, accommodations of our base. They're just too many. And the idea is that including food processing and other processing. The idea is that these are the areas in which if we strengthen the economy, the multipliers are so big that we will be able to absorb more jobs, create more jobs, and bring more people into the economy. And the other point is that we're also trying to get the kind of investments that are not food-based. that don't come today and next week, they take their suitcases and go. So they're trying to promote investments that can be grounded on the ground. So if Ford comes in and opens the front here, it's not an easy thing to say, we have no venture equity. We are going to think because something doesn't go right. Whereas if you go to services, many of those just require a computer, a laptop, that can provide the services you go to. I can next week take this laptop, do the same thing from London. But the message is not that those are the requirements, but it's that those grow on the back of these ones that should be grounded. So the idea is that these are the anchors, not so much that the others are totally excluded. So if you start the level on services that can be relocated, you're going to spend billions on something that you can do in the 20 years of time. But obviously the challenge is for the policy makers, for the sector development team to balance all of those and look at provincial and regional peculiarities and say this region may not have funds, but they have this kind of investment in this because of the so all those things are taken into account. It's not just excluded on a whim. I think in terms of general progress, what we have been able to measure as a model is the investment performance. There are other indicators that we want to measure, exports, jobs, infrastructure development, innovation, etc. But it's too early now to start measuring those. So on investment, what we can report is that the indications we're getting at the moment is that the pipeline is very good, very healthy in the majority of the estimates, including current IDs. There are challenges that we have to deal with and address, but at this stage, all indications are that we will harvest quite flexible investments. And we'll come back later, hopefully in the year, with more details about what we can affect in the process. The last question was about plans to minimize competition among the citizens. This has always been at the core of the policy and the engagement between UTI and all the ITs. We have a monthly meeting with the CEOs to coordinate what happens across the board so that everyone else understands. But some of the things that we are trying to do is to have a single monthly plan for all South African SMEs. You probably see on TV other countries doing the same, like Macedonia, we are not necessarily saying same SMEs there, but we'll tell you about Macedonia SMEs. The other element that we are trying to focus on is for each of these focus on specific clusters. So it's quite clear now, for example, Tanzania is oil and gas, so they are not competing with another which is not focusing on this cluster. East London and focus are quite strong now on auto components and automotive and components of renewable energy, etc. So if you look at all of them, now there's a specific scheme that's emerged, which was not so in the past, but we are moving towards that, and that will help minimize.
Thank you very much. I'm worried about the time that we are spending on answering, but I'm also worried that if you don't give her the answer, then you're going to be in trouble. So don't run away from that. Let her go there and die.
No, then I just wanted to add on the issue of the partnership between the municipality, the SEZ, and the national. Chair, I think it's good that the honorable members are from the provinces. They might have to use their influence in their work, daily work, to influence the provinces to also support the development of this new, especially the new SEZ. The current SEZ, which was the IDZ before, the 9th of February, they were getting allocation from the DTR, almost 100% of it. Although, in some case, I think the provincial government will also give the SEZ a little bit of money for operations, but when you talk about the infrastructure development within the IDZ or the SEZ, the money was coming from the DTI. Under the new law, the SEZ belongs to the provinces. That is clear. So the provinces must be prepared really in their budget. They must be budget for SEZ. There's one example of an IDZ chair which now is looking at even selling part of the land to be able to raise money to support operations. I think the Honorable Minister have the comment about the land being given to the SEZ, but all the SEZ looking at raising money now by selling it, because the money from the DTI is no longer enough now, because the DTI is spread itself. The very thing is what we are looking at about 10 SEZ. So the provinces will have to come up now and play a big role, you know, not really depending on what the DTI is to support everything. So it's a big issue that is coming up. Another SEZ is also considering. So two SEZ already now say, well, we don't have enough money in the DTI, but the provinces are not, you know, coming to the table. So it is a big issue that made I thought I would raise it to the Honourable Members here.
Thank you very much. Honourable Members, allow me, please, to just divert you slightly and welcome Honourable Alfred Chetla, who is a new member of the Commission. Honourable Member, we are grateful that eventually you could find us. You know where we're meeting. We know that you've been having the Secretary of Commons and things like that. We have spoken to the office of the people who are trying to trust that, or they are trying to trust, not us. But we're grateful that you're here. And Honourable Members, remember sometime last year we informed you about the withdrawal of Honourable Zondi from BZF. So Honourable Edwa is now the official representative of the province of BZF. Welcome, sir. Honourable Mandela, she's from the Eastern Cape, and we will acknowledge her now. Then I've noticed two other members, but let her heard, then I'll introduce the other members as they come.
Thank you, I'd like to know what the influence would be of his regulation on the existing operations of the current EPG. That to me is important. Then I would like to know how the regulations will affect the land issue in SEZ. Because Richards Bay has got a specific land issue in as much as that they want to sell land, or the investors want to buy land. But how secure is foreign direct investment in property with a lot of bills like the restriction of investment and now the appropriation will out. And I know we can say it's fine, but it doesn't look so fine when you really read the legislation that's coming through. So in Cooper, on the other hand, they're not thinking of selling, but they're making of selling land, but they thinking you can rent it. And then they will maintain the infrastructure with it. So what is the quality and what is it going to be like in Western Cape? Then I'm very worried to hear that, sorry, there's no more money. We can't do the other SEZ. We know what the situation is, and we fully understand that. But when one plans, one puts these plans on paper, one must make sure that you're going to say you're going to do this over a number of years, and not been bitten by the provinces. Because we are in a very difficult position, as members here, is what are we doing for our provinces? And how are we performing and driving issues with the provinces? Why can't you hurt on the Book of Father? I mean, you didn't even listen to your regulations. We wanted to know where the SDS is for the Northern Cape. So, when you say there's no money, is there enough money to finish our Tambo one and the Saldanha Bay one? Because I tell you, when we go as committee members to Vickers Bay when we were there, we were told they want to expand and they are short of money for the expansion. You go to do that and they tell you that they've got an environmental issue I'd like to know to resolve and they need money. Then you go to East London and they need money for further development, and their problem is that the far automotive section is complaining about the coal dust that's blowing all over the car, which is not a good thing. Then you go to the FEZ Kruger and they also want money for further development. So it looks good and it's growing, but when the Honourable Rana and I were there on provincial oversight, we were told they need a lot of money to continue. So when we look at the cost structures of the boards that must be set up, is it going to be heavy or taxing on the SEZ? Regulations, if you've got regulations, those must be released. What are the cost implications? And then I have done the issue, so thank you very much. I know it's a whole lot, but it's a wonderful opportunity. Thank you.
Honourable Shimunya is from the province of Mpumalanga.
Thank you. I hear in the presentation that you are serving yesterday in the background, but in your pipeline, for a matter of fact, I know the Nkoma, this is the pipeline in the Mpumalanga. At what stage are they now? If you can share with us the connected success. But then in the MTF period, in your plan, how many and what do you want to do?
Thank you very much. Honorable Dihale, we'll have you the last one on this one. Let me get an indication, are we going to have another round following this one? No. Okay. Then I'll add my question here. After Honorable Dihale.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Sister, for supporting me this opportunity. And also to apologize that I have arrived late, and thanks for the presentation. I was not going to raise my question, but as you were indicating the problems that are being served by this SEZ, you did not mention other provinces, and the Mpopo included. So I really want to check why is other provinces not included, including my province in Mpopo. And also maybe to ask, because there's others are really interested in about profession. Just want to check the interest of my current. And the other thing, I want to check who is supposed to be part of this SEZ when it comes to the community representation, whereby the community is still participating. I know the DTI is been working very well with our province on the art project. So now starting to worry when
this
now is not mentioned in my
comments. Thank you very much. You see the provincial bias coming through. We'll allow you to respond to those, but let me just add my part of the question, because I think that it might be helpful because it's about the presentation. On the slide number 4, where you show the highlights, you are talking about work in progress there by the National Treasury and also by SARS. Can you give us an indication of time frames? They can't continue this indefinitely. Then on the slide number 6, the second point there in the presentation that I have, you talk about the minister who's required to establish the edification committee. Can you tell us where we are on the establishment of the education committee? From the questions that have been raised, you can see that the members here are very anxious that when these things happen, no province should be excluded. You say, with me coming from Gauteng, I will not raise our provincial questions, but to say that. Just a matter of education that you may want to look at. In our previous State of the Province address in Gauteng, he is talking about the automotive industry in Rosslyn and looking at the possibility of having a city developing around Rosslyn and also an agricultural hub on SUZ, because we have Nissan, we have Ford, and we have BMW, Iveco as well, manufacturing in the Rosslyn area, apart from the Honda plant that we have in the Springs area. So the automotive industry, we wouldn't want to take away the economic benefits from the Eastern Cape, but we think that it has to be adjudicated very carefully. So that is education policy. Then Honorable Ntebe has raised the question about the SEZ in the Northwest. But to share with you that we built it, and I did that, very small thing. Honorable Ntebe, help me with that place that we visited where we got the, just outside of Pilanza, where they were struggling, they had a building, was Mohas. They had a building, and the building was just standing there. They didn't have the financial support to be able to utilize that building, because there's an established industrial area just outside. But then the question that I want to raise there might not be a fair one, but you can decide. When we engage with the people there on the side, particularly two, the one was manufacturing charcoal, and the other one was manufacturing juices. And the complaint that they had is that they don't have market access. So they're producing that. I mean, now in the festive season, I was missing beautiful charcoal that burns for hours that they're manufacturing there. And we find that in certain areas in Gauteng, people could not get charcoal. For New Year's Day, there was no charcoal available. And yes, people that are manufactured using localization and beneficiation, and they can't access the market. So on that, if you talk about infrastructure development and business incubation on page 8, can you talk to us a little bit more about market as well? I have the others, but I'll take them up with you at a different time. We'll take it in some time. Let's see if we can cover all the questions within 20 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. And my flight can't be
there was a question by the old member from the Northern Cape. They said the afternoon we were doing the follow up with the office of the business. We debated whether we should include the progress around the current event in that comment. And we said it would be dangerous for us to be asked to deliver something and then before it's something else. We can't help it like that with progress. But we are willing to come back to present the progress around that. With regards to the SZ in the Northern Cape in particular, there is an SZ that is proposed having an SZ. And we're at a stage now whereby they are finalizing the application for the submission. It has been challenged, I don't remember, by capacity on the ground to implement the project itself. As a GDR, we funded all the proposed SZ with what we call state capital to employ four specialists to work with us on the work of 250 PDG until they get to the stage whereby they apply with the submission. The Northern Cape was one of the provinces that slightly supported with regards to the deployment of the presence in there. But we can give you better support for our support. But we managed to push them to the stage whereby now they're ready to apply. And the municipality did not have that much. So we asked them to provide land, they provided land.
in the middle of the study, they came back and said, the broker who wants to sell back his land. Now, you have work done by consulting, and then it was your check, and you're picking that land. The moment you start cutting into pieces and selling it, you disorganize the whole plan now. And try that other month. You come with an application, show the tax of the land waiting, so that you know where this is. But they should be managed to put it there for the future of the company, and they can shut down with application. And there is better actually lining up to locate there already. But the issue was the capacity on the ground. And we have been there to do our
research.
I think it's correct. The issue around the regulations and information that we take is that all of the members. We've given them, my colleagues have been taken earlier, the SZ, the IDZ actually, 3 years we should transition from IDZ to SZ, as the act in the year. But we said to them, give us a plan in 3 years, because we're not going to wait for 3 years to come and tell us that we're still thinking. Can you tell us then what plan you're going to put in place to ensure that you comply with the act and you transition to the SZ act? So we had a meeting with them actually, they requested, because we had all the IDZ and SZ, to take them through the new regulations and to guide them on how to comply with the act. And certain areas where they were not clear, we said we're going to seek your opinion and get back to them. We're meeting them again on Thursday next week to ensure that they are not left behind. We still have a process of providing this information. We wanted to make sure that there's clarity in their part. And on the issue of financial planning, the DTI and the Treasury took the decision that we're going to focus on infrastructure support and incentives. And the province must support the SPZ or IDZ with operating costs. The reason why we actually said they must now look at them, because the Treasury, with all the financial challenges that government is facing, is increasing us. And he said, also try to come up with structures at the SPZ level that are optimal, so that we don't employ an army of people. The case in front of the UHA, where the organization just became so massive, they started building up vast plots of land that now are not occupied, but they must pay rate and taxes. And land that is not the United Revolution. Now we say that don't go around public land, that you're not going to be able to support it once it's there. So we say now, you go and buy huge tracts of land, you're going to pay for those operating costs. Because you can't land bank for 8 years, and that is not being accumulated in the revenue. So we're trying now to put control to show that with the little money that we get on treasury, it is properly accounted for spent in the public level. With regards to the length within the SZ, I will not really speculate on the integration of other specific legislation with that capacity. Most of the land that we have now is owned either by the SZ or the ones that are proposed, for example, with the period of agency, we said, council we took a resolution that we make this land available. 6 months down the line, we take another resolution, we take back the land. They say, now it seems that I can't extend council resolution. Let's have legally binding process that says this land is transferred to the SZ entity. So that the money that we spend on the geotech and everything is money well spent. So now where we go is one legally binding element beyond that transfer resolution. If we have the insecure under the SZ. The Musina SZ medium, actually there are two proposed SZ in the Bombo, Tubase and Musina. And I can guarantee you that Musina, after all the proposed 10 new SZs, is the one that is running ahead of them all. Because comparing investors to the tune of 40 billion in the metallurgical club and Musina. And application now, we're going to have consultation in a week or two. And the ministers have put the application, after public consultation, we're going to cabinet. So there's a huge conference that is made around the Musina SZ. In fact, Libongo, I think, will rise before the rest actually come out of the tender that we go. Because what is driving these investments, all of the members, rather the SZ, is the confirmation of existing investors. So we don't want to build this infrastructure and then it lies there without any investors in place. So what we're trying to find the balance is make the land available, but make sure that you drive investment positions. So that by the time you give that need, the investors are ready to pay. Yesterday, the DTI, we had a meeting with Chinese investors because they wanted to know how far are we with the disagreement, because the plan to China are always in the end of that. They want to secure funding from the Chinese government so that by the time they go with that part of the process in March, there's a license to place for the disagreement of the people. So there's huge progress made in that regard. Yes, there are issues that things let me move this to my colleague.
Thank you very much.
I'm just going to add on the issue of the regulations. As you all know, the thing also is the issue of funding. The regulations make it very clear in terms of the distinction between the role of the TI and the role of the province, and in terms of the ownership as well. So, in the DTI, we are custodians of the SEZ policy regulations, guidelines, and so forth. We also make a public SEZ fund which supports the implementation of the SEZs in provinces. But the provinces or municipalities, whoever finds at the local level, is the owner of the SEZ. So even in terms of the funding thereof, we expect provinces to also make contributions. It may not be the Department of Economic Development. Remember that the SEZ is a multifaceted program. When we approach our approach is that when we develop an SEZ, that we need to develop an ecosystem, not only the manufacturing park, but all the other supporting systems. So it could be that even in the process, all the other departments have a role to play. For example, the Department of Water, but that would play a role in terms of making sure that there's water in the SEZ, the Department of Roads and Transport, the Department of Basic Education, and many other departments. So there's a role that all the government departments, both at the local and national level, play in terms of making sure that they support the SEZ in terms of funding. So it's not only the SEZ fund that has to play a role. The issue of the regulations, the influence of insofar as the existing IDZ, you would know that before this SEZ Act, we never had an Act. Our IDZ regime was governed through the regulations. Now, there were a number of weaknesses that were identified in this regulation. One, the ease of institutional arrangement. We never had a SEZ board at the national level. We never had regulations in terms of the incentives. There were no incentives except the infrastructure. So our new regulations make provision for the establishment of the SEZ incentives. We have the corporate tax incentives, as you all know. We have the SEZ fund. It was established because of the regulations. The regulations make provision for that. We do have an education committee. We've already established that is in existence. Also, as I've indicated, issue of reporting. We never had a clear economic indicators in terms of what the IDZ should report on. So there's now a clear process and procedures in terms of reporting arrangements. Also, the issue of operator vis-a-vis the entities never used to exist, but now with the SEZ Act, SEZ would be encouraged to apply. And I must say that our regulations are not typical regulations where we regulate, but they assist us in terms of simplifying development where the potential importance is. I must say also in terms of the land issue, the regulations and the Act makes it very clear that when you apply for SEZ, you must demonstrate at least the ownership and control of the land that you seek to develop. And this was on the basis of the learning that we got from other countries and other provinces. It's mainly to manage the development in the area. You can imagine if a subject is SEZ and you don't have control over that land, and control by somebody else, and you say here's going to be a manufacturing park, and the owner land brings a human settlement. So we're just saying that we need to ensure that there's a control so that we can we're able to comply with the provisions of the SEZ Act. And I say the work of the National Treasury. We're working jointly with National Treasury. I think they are at advanced stage. There's a few issues that we need to sort out. The incentives are in place, as you all know. We're just working on the final regulations and so far as the companies that will benefit from the SEZ incentives. I think the only thing that we are left with was just to ensure that we gazette the designated SEZ. You all know that our SEZ incentives are governed by the Income Tax Act. There's a clause called R in the Income Tax Act that says there must be a concurrent agreement between the two ministers. So that's the one clause that we currently are analyzing so far as compliance. We just need to get information from provinces so that our information. What implies that once the SEZ is designated, or all the IDZs are designated, so under the new Act, they are automatically SEZ.
But that was said that the Minister of Finance would then need to proclaim all those SEZs so that they can automatically qualify for or have access to the tax incentives. So that's the process that we're finalizing. And I must say that it's something that is an administrative process we're finalizing. The issue of incubation and market access. We all know that mainly our SEZ program focused on the attraction of foreign direct investors, mainly for export markets. But with the new SEZ program, we then said that we need to focus, as my colleague Alfred has indicated, on regions that can anchor industrial development. So industrialization is the point of departure. And when we develop, so when we drive industrialization, the first thing that we need to do to establish and identify an anchor industry that we seek to develop, whether it's automotive, mineral beneficiation, agricultural beneficiation. And there must be at least comparative or competitive advantage that drives that development. For example, we realize that with the IDZ program, all coastal provinces could drive industrialization because of the regulations. Our regulation says that you should be close to the port of entry. But with the SEZ regime or through the assessment that we undertook, we then realized that there are regions with massive potential to drive industrialization in the form of the resource endowments that we have. For example, you go to Mosina. The Mosina region is the only region in the country that has coking coal. You go to Rustenburg, they have massive reserves and production in terms of the platinum. So what you need to do there is just to ensure that we translate those comparative advantages into competitive advantages. And when we do that, you must ensure that you also have other systems that could enable you to develop the SMME. So incubation is one of the programs that we're going to be utilizing to ensure that we develop SMMEs in those industries that we have identified. So,
just the remaining months, Adjudication Committee. The committee already is chaired by the Director General, and its work is different from that of the SEZ Advisory Board. It only looks at applications for money. When COFA says we need 100 million for this, that application goes to this Adjudication Committee. So they would look at the nature of the investment, what is it that's required, is reasonable, and then they will make a recommendation to the minister and then approve. The other issue one needs to highlight is on the land issue. This is emerging the one of the major challenges going forward, because increasingly in many of these regions the land is in private hands. And as soon as you indicate that in this area we're going to do a lot of the practice of land shoot out of the hoop, and that is indicated the major challenge from just there. So we will work ways on managing those things. That's why sometimes we don't talk too much about this initiative until we reach a particular stage, because back then we would have locked up and acquired at the right land. Environmental management is also something that we are working on with the other departments, because some of these industries will destroy the environment in the regulation. We need them, we need the balance. So their process is to look at all these things. And lastly, just to indicate that all provinces are working on initiatives for new SEZs, including Eastern Cape. The challenge for them is to prove and demonstrate that this thing will work. So those that will be able to prove that this thing will work are needing to go through. Those that cannot prove, our challenge will be to help them prove. If what they have proposed is not workable, maybe we should look for something else until we find something that works. The danger here, I think it's important for members to know and understand this. Sometimes companies will come and say, we have an investor, but the investor comes up willing to invest 10 million. But they expect the state to fork out 1 billion to support that investment. Then it doesn't make sense. those are the things that we have to balance. So even if as an investment partner, it must make sense in terms of the required support. If the package or the pipeline is only 50 million, it's not reasonable to expect the state to pay 1 billion just so that 50 million worth of investment can be the problem. But in that case, we use other instruments for profit. We don't throw the investment away. We just don't use it yet. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. I'm going to allow you to use your airtime properly.
One last time, say your question around for the stars and other treasure. Quickly, we set up a steering committee between GTI, Star Treasure, and ITEC. From your all issues that you can come into the community, and also to let investors know where they know Kassar has been. So that committee actually has started its work to agree to Kassar. They must do what we call the easiest guide. On the issue of community involvement in the work I'm doing, in the China, next we're going to see the chief vendor. For sure, before the public consultation starts, we must speak to the chief so that he doesn't get shocked about the work they've done this year before the consultation. So we do conduct proper consultation in that consultation.
Thank you very much. We are also members of the same members that you see here, are also working on another select committee that we call the Select Committee on Economic and Business Development. And there's six departments of government reporting to that committee. I'm getting anxious about how exactly we link the provinces with you through us as the representatives of provinces here. Please look at that. We know that we don't have a problem if we ask any entity of DTI or if we ask DTI itself to come and make the presentation. The entities I'm referring to, you are familiar with. But I'm worried that we will not have enough time to engage with you through the processes of calling to come and report to the Select Committee meeting. So DGG and your parliamentary liaison officer should know that what we meant to is to take our questions with you in a different mode, and therefore the promise that you made to give a health report as well. The members are anxious, they have to run. We have to catch a plane as well. And we have to move there. Can I just before you leave, because I want us to be quoted when we accept the minutes. The minutes, just two amendments. The one is that we have three apologies from members, but in the minutes it only says two. Now, the second time that our secretary is doing that. Yeah. But you read all of it in the minutes, it says two.
Okay.
The last thing is just, and I drew you back at the attention to that. Under point five, you have the impression the minutes of the meeting held on 7th February 2016 were tabled for consideration and adoption. But any has in bracket there with which department. So I said to him, just check the department. Ask the content advisor to give you the department that you met with on the 17th of February. So we put the department in there. With those two changes on the members, can I get a proposal for the acceptance supplement? On the repair, can I get a second for the minute, please? On the thank you very much. Right, now those members who need to disappear, if you're going to, okay,
the bus will be, of course, at 1 o'clock. But is there anything else that you want to share with us on that? The bus will be at Portage. For those who need to know, we are taking a 3 o'clock flight. So we will arrive in Joburg at 5. We'll be smack in the middle of the traffic. So take your iPad with you. We do have free Wi-Fi on the highways of Joburg.
Thank you very much. With this new city that's coming, there can be buses with passengers.
Yeah, it is manufactured by Toyota in Cape
Town. Even Pumalanga is a foreign concept.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Please note that our meetings next week, Wednesday and Tuesday, will not happen because we have on the program the training. The strategic planning of the project. Thank you very much. It's not our degree. Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry. We look at this as a memo.
No, no, you can. But we'll do it off the plane.